Welcome to Ragnar 365 Nuggets. Thank you for joining here today.
Hey, hello. Welcome to my podcast number 41. And today I've got for the second time with me Oliver Virkos from Halifax, Canada. Hi, Oliver. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Ragnar. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. No, it's actually after the 6th of January, but I believe there is no bad luck. So there's still a very good time to wish you all the best for 2021, that you're going to have a healthy, good year, successful and lucky one.
Thank you very much.
Oliver, you are working at Entity Data Services as a technical solution architecture advisor. And as I mentioned in my last podcast, I know you well from photos you're sharing around bears in your neighborhood. Some changes here around your friendly animals in your backyard?
Yes, there has been a change. So the bears, the black bears we had in BC, now that we are living here in Nova Scotia, near Halifax, well, we haven't seen black bears yet. We heard from our neighbors that there are black bears, and sometimes they are looting the garbage bags at night, but we haven't seen one yet. But we have other animals here running around in our backyard. So, yeah, let's say it this way. We just exchanged the black bears with pheasants, with hares, with raccoons, deers. So there's still a lot of wildlife here.
Great. So we also have it in the area where I live in Germany, Kassel. We also have a lot of raccoons. Yeah. But that's not the topic for today, our friendly friends, raccoons. We want to talk about your project, your customer project, where you have developed, migrated, deployed, introduced Power Platform and Microsoft Teams. Could you please share a little bit what you have done there?
Yeah, sure, I can. I think I need to provide a little bit of background here before I start into publishing the details. So a couple of months ago, I worked with a huge client here in Canada, and I'm still working with that client. And this client needed to roll out home offices. So the working from home capabilities that we are all using.
Typical exactly. COVID-19
due to that. Mm-hmm. And well, all of a sudden, the majority of the employees needed to work from home. So it was a huge challenge for that client. And again, it was a huge client. It still is a huge client. So the first thing we did was, well, rolling out Microsoft Teams, as that was the decision from the XX. So they wanted to use Microsoft Teams as the platform for all the employees working from home. So the big issue mm-hmm. now is, okay, you need to have that platform ASAP. How do you do that? How can you roll out Microsoft Teams to thousands of employees now working from home? So this was a big challenge. And well, after the client started with the rollout, we soon found out that, well, it's not working like that. So you can't just take Microsoft Teams, install it on all the client computers, and let employees use Teams.
Tell me, what is it missing here exactly? What is the challenge? Is it more like end user training, which is missing, or technical deployment issues, which cannot be done fully remotely, or adoption things?
No. Technical deployment issues, no. That was all fine. Mm-hmm. The issue was training. Well, at least a little bit. So I think you don't need to have too much training just to be able to use Microsoft Teams. It's a very intuitive platform. I think the major challenges we were facing, that was corporate policies, governance policies, security policies, security guidelines, and all that stuff. And it started with basic questions like, are we allowed to mm-hmm. have meetings with external users? Yes, no. Can we share things with external users? How are external users handled? What can we share during Teams? Can we use chat? Are there any policies that we need to obey here? So there were a lot of questions, and it all came up to, it's not working like this. We need to have a team, and this team needs to be responsible for the rollout. So usually, and I think you would agree, usually this is done by a change management team in an organization. But because the rollout needed to happen so fast, so quickly. Change management activities were, I wouldn't say mm-hmm. used, let's say it this way. Instead, we decided to create and set up a so-called center of excellence. So what people here in North America, and especially in Canada, know about a center of excellence basically is this. It's a kind of committee. It's a group of people responsible for, in that case, rolling out a specific platform. So a center of excellence that usually consists of a team lead. We have some technical experts here. We have people from the communication department. We have people from the governance committees and so on. So it's a bunch of, subject matter experts. And these experts, they were first looking at teams, the capability of teams, and what are areas in teams that might conflict with corporate guidelines, corporate policies, and so on. So that was the first step we did.
And when you found out conflicts, how do you make sure after having workshops mm-hmm. around governance guidelines, governance policies, how do you make sure that these guidelines are going to be in place also in the next days and weeks, a month? Also, is there a kind of tool or kind of process structure which you use to make sure that it always triggers something in a kind of alert when the policies are in a conflict?
Yeah, that was the next challenge. So rolling out additional tools was challenging because that would require additional tests and mm-hmm. additional approvals, additional reviews, additional audits. So we decided, okay, let's have a look at what are the problematic areas here. So for example, chatting with external users. So mm-hmm. this was a challenge because chatting with external users should be allowed, but employees should not be able to share anything with external users except off the screen. So what external users can see on the screen, that's totally fine, but employees shouldn't be able to share, for example, documents via Teams, via the Teams chat with external users. And the other way around, external users shouldn't be able to share anything with employees while in a meeting. So that is something we found out. Okay, that is something that is that mm-hmm. can be done in Microsoft Teams very easily. So we reached out to the corporate governance committee, and we reached out to people involved in security questions. And we had a look at this specific feature in Microsoft Teams, and we came to a mutual conclusion, which means, okay, this needs to be mm-hmm. configured, which means this specific functionality should be disabled. And that is the way that we did that, because that was the fastest solution. Microsoft Teams was about to be rolled out. Some employees already used Microsoft Teams. So we needed to act mm-hmm. very quickly just to ensure that there are no, for example, security breaches. So that was mm-hmm. that was the way to go. And this was all handled by the Center of Excellence, by the experts team. So their major task was have a look at all the features that are available in Microsoft Teams, check which features are in conflict with existing governance policies or with existing security policies, involve security specialists and involve the governance committee, discuss that feature with them, come to a mutual conclusion, and try to turn off that feature. Sometimes we needed to involve Microsoft because it wasn't easy to, for example, find out how you can disable sharing documents while in the Teams chat. But we found out how to best do that. And at the moment, Microsoft Teams is mm-hmm. broadly adopted. The company is using Microsoft Teams. They're using Microsoft Teams in a very successful manner. The Center of Excellence is still working with the employees, but as Teams has been rolled out successfully, they are mostly in a supportive role, which means they are still the subject matter experts. And whenever there's a problem, users can reach out to the Center of Excellence and get help. And especially if there are updates that Microsoft is publishing, Microsoft is doing that almost on a weekly basis, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is great, which is great. So the recent updates to Teams, they are really great. But these updates also need to be checked prior to being rolled out in that organization. And that is what the Center of Excellence team did as well. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's also what they do. Okay. So they moved a little bit from the driving seat into the supporting role. And to summarize, what I've learned here is that it's very important to really start a project, start a Teams rollout with governance committees, governance workshops, because otherwise you would run into major conflicts and showstopper and other kinds of things who could stop a project. So the adoption success was highly correlating with this kind of very strong, very empowered committee.
Yeah. So my lessons learned here is definitely, okay, if there is no option for a structured rollout, as I said before, we needed to roll out Microsoft Teams very quickly just to ensure that all the guys working from home actually have an option to work from home and to connect with others. So that we needed to act very quickly. And the best way to do that was forget about all the structures that you would usually use when you roll out new technology. Right? Establish a center of excellence and, kind of make these center of excellence guys the subject matter experts that check the functionality, assist with the rollout, and help users while Teams is still new for them.
Great. No, that's absolutely something what I haven't heard before, because usually you have the different structures, like the champions who are caring about the rollout on the evangelism side, then you have the center of excellence, and then you have your stakeholders like compliance and so on. But here it seems like every relevant person was in the same core group, which makes things more faster when you have to decide super quickly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a stressful time, but we made it. It's used successfully. And so this is my lessons learned. If it needs to be quick, you can still do that. But it requires a lot of work and a huge team of experts. It's not ideal, absolutely, but it's doable.
Great. Oliver, let's switch gears and move to the Power Platform. You also talked that you are working with your client regarding Power Apps and also Power Automate and so on. Please tell me a little bit more about the use case. What did they what do they want to achieve and why they're using Power Platform?
Yeah. So now that we roll out Microsoft Teams successfully, a lot of employees noticed, Teams, it's a great platform. You can chat, you can have video conferences, you can exchange information, you can change documents. But on the automation side, it's still all manual. And the users soon came up with brilliant ideas on how to implement corporate processes into Teams. And quite funny, one of the first suggestions was, we have this old vacation request, which every organization has, and it's implemented, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. But the users came up with, wouldn't it be great to integrate this vacation request process into Teams? So when I have a chat with my manager talking about the upcoming vacation during Christmas holidays, for example, I can get approval from the manager right away via Teams. And I can just click on this on a button here and submit my request. So that was the first idea. And then a lot more ideas came. So we can automate this. It would be great to have this. How about this? Can we do that? And soon the first employees came, there is Power Apps and Power Automate. Why isn't that rolled out? Why can't we use that? So the corporate IT was pushed in a situation where they needed to roll out Power Automate and Power Apps as quickly as they rolled out Microsoft Teams. So again, in a very unstructured manner, but they decided, it worked for Teams, so let's try it again for Power Apps and Power Automate. So they set up another center of excellence, and they did it the same way, which means
Also regarding governance.
Exactly.
So governance was
exactly.
Still.
Exactly. Yes, okay. Exactly.
Nice, nice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was still very hands-on. And, we soon realized, Power Automate is a super powerful platform, but there are a lot of security concerns. And I think most of our readers would know that there are connectors which can be used to connect to external systems. You can define allowed connectors and blocked connectors. The Power Platform also includes this renamed Dataverse environment, which was CDS formerly.
DataFlex formerly, so and Project Oakland formerly.
Yes, you're right. Yep, I remember. Yes, so this is a very powerful addition to Power Apps and the Power Platform, but it's also very, very hard to configure. So there's these environments, different roles, and different access policies and different access permissions. So we soon find out, it's super complex. And if we are just rolling out like that, it would quite overwhelm our users. So we need to do that step by step. And this is what we do at the moment. So we decided to use a similar approach. And again, it's not an ideal approach, but still it's working. So we are rolling out step by step. First, we are rolling out Power Apps. So users can just use Power Apps with, for example, the SharePoint site, which is quite easy to use, quite easy to configure. We are creating this, we are providing documentation, we are providing training and so on. And while we are doing that, another sub-team in the Center of Excellence, they are preparing the next rollout. The next rollout will be, now users will be allowed to use Power Apps with Dataverse. So that is the next sub-rollout process.
And now you can imagine what my question is. What are Dataverse for teams? Everybody's so excited about it.
I'm not sure yet because I'm still struggling with being able to provide recommendations on how to configure Dataverse in a huge organization. I still don't get me wrong on that. Dataverse is
I think we all missing
tool. Absolutely great tool.
Experiences but, here,
configuring Dataverse, for example, especially if you need to provide, let's say, proper access permissions. That is tough. That is super tough. That is super tough for an expert. But can you imagine that this needs to be done by, let's say, someone responsible in a corporate entity? I don't think so. So we need to find ways how to make this more easily for users. And maybe we're using, Power Apps for that. We can create a Power App that can be used to apply access permissions based on a corporate schema. We'll see.
Do you think that this kind of integration into Teams, when Power Apps is part of Teams and Dataverse is part of Teams, that that everything is going to be a little bit easier? Or is it the same kind of complexity just with a button instead of Teams?
Well, I think it all depends on how you roll that out to an organization or into an organizational environment. So I think, this is the view of a technical expert. So I think it's a great addition. So Microsoft Teams, Power Apps, and Power Automate, they really fit together. And you can do great and very complex things as long as you know how to do that. As long as you know how to roll that out in an organizational environment, which means if you're sitting in front of your computer, and I think you have a kind of demo tenant as well, so you can play around with this new functionality, build crazy things very easily, as long as you know what to do. But in an organizational environment, it's not just click, 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 submit, and you're done. You need to build apps based on corporate governance, corporate security policies, and so on. So it's not that easy. But to answer your question, yes, it's a great addition, and I think users will be able to do great things with the Power Apps and Power Automate integration into Teams.
You have played around on your own environment many times, installing and building and coding Power Apps. What are your biggest, most important learnings when you work with Power Apps in an enterprise grade environment? Because this is different than your Contoso playground.
Yeah. So one of the biggest issues I'm currently facing is I'm still struggling with licensing, to be honest. It's I don't know. Maybe it's too complex for me to understand, but licensing in Power Apps is still a super complicated thing. And whenever my client comes back to me and asking, okay, Power Apps, Power Automate licensing, I still didn't get that. Can you explain that to me? I said, oh, please don't ask me. Okay, how about this? Let's have a chat with Microsoft. Let's chat with the Microsoft experts and let's ask them. So they should be able to explain the licensing in Power Apps and Power Automate in a very easy and understandable way. So that's what we're usually doing.
We need actually a Power App for this where we only enter the values and on, and then after a few questions, the price is going to be...
Yeah, it's not about the price here or the cost for the license. It's more about how can license be managed. So if you're using Power Automate and Power Apps in an organizational environment, you usually make, let's say, department heads, department leaders, department managers. You make them the responsible person for all Power Apps, Power Automate related things for that specific corporate entity. Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of self-service approach. So IT can't do that. Corporate IT is still there to help, to assist. But creating apps, publishing apps, managing licenses, managing access permission—that is usually done by the corporate entities, by the departments.
Oh, okay, that's very interesting, and I haven't heard it before. So it's a lot of new skills which are required on the business side, because usually this kind of topics regarding also Power App skills, technical skills, deployment skills, licensing skills. In the past, it was always part of IT. Here in this phase, I see that IT said, okay, that's a little bit out of scope for us. But there are a lot of new learnings for businesses.
You see, there are different ways how to do that. But I think in a large organization, and we're talking about this case, I would say 20 departments, 25 departments, something like that. So if that would be all handled by IT based on those common IT tickets, it would take a long time and IT would be overwhelmed with the work. And I think the decision to push that off to the department leads or to, let's say, responsible experts in a specific department totally makes sense because, a department should know best who should be able to have access to a specific app. Right. Even if a department creates an app, this does not necessarily mean that all the members of that department should have access to that app. So they know best how to access external systems. They know best how to access their data repositories. They know best how to provide access to specific members of that department. And I think the decision to do it like this totally makes sense here. But in the same set, we kind of offloaded additional responsibilities to the department leads or to the responsible people for the departments so that they can manage licenses on their own.
Okay, so you're actually installing on the client side kind of Power Apps champion, guru, whatever, who is specialized on Power Apps development, on Power Apps security, on Power Apps governance, Power Apps licensing, Power Apps migrations and deployment. So that's a completely new role for an organization. That's interesting. That's interesting. How did they learn all this stuff? Did they just go? Did they just Google their way, or did they go to the new virtual hub learning experience from Microsoft? Or what was their preferred way to get all these new skills?
Yeah, that was managed by the Center of Excellence. So they provided the training. So what we actually did was we provided training on how to publish an app. We provided training on how to manage permissions. We provided a training on how to manage licenses. Developers for these departments, they got a specific Power Apps development training, but that wasn't provided by the Center of Excellence. That was basically a Microsoft training. So they had, I don't know, 3-4 days Microsoft training on Power Apps and Power Automate. That was for the developers. And all the other responsibles, we trained on our own.
Yeah. Great. No, that's very innovative, Oliver. Thanks much for sharing this customer story. Absolutely. Hope to have you back in my show with the next customer case. Always great to chat with you.
Thank you. Same here.
And all the best to you, Oliver.
Thank you, and all the best to you, and all the best to everyone who is listening to our podcast.
Welcome to Ragnar 365 Nuggets. Thank you for joining here today. Welcome to Ragnar 365 Nuggets. Thank you for joining here today.